brilliant baritone, the Salapatica singers, the songsmith, and as our guest artist tonight, the brilliant star of so many Broadway successes, Miss Norma Terrace. Put these all together, and you have an hour of smiles, started auspiciously by Lenny Hayton and his Itana Troubadours, plus the Salapatica singers. The number, Over Somebody Else's Shoulder. Lady Biddle Biddle, London society figure, arrives for Easter parade.
How do you do?
Can I take your luggage, Lady Biddy Biddy?
Definitely not. I shall carry my own luggage. My ancestors were Scotch, you know.
What are you most anxious to see here in America, Lady Beebe?
Easter morning on the White House lawn. They tell me you Americans lay eggs in the grass, so I say...
Harvard returns Handsome Dan, Bulldog mascot, to Yale. Tidwell Flunk, Yale senior, welcomes Handsome Dan.
Harvard is guilty of dog-napping, my friends. We knew that Handsome Dan wouldn't stay in Harvard after he'd had a taste of Yale. Some colleges are gone to the dogs, but with Yale, it's vice versa. Got a cigarette?
How about you, Handsome Dan? Which is your favorite college? The Blase News presents the newsreel scoop of the year. The holders of the winning sweepstakes tickets. Mrs. Bedelia Flush, scrub woman, wins $200,000.
Folks, I'm going to keep right on scrubbing. All I want is a new bucket and a kind word.
Miss Amantha Prune, spinster, third prize, $100,000.
I don't know what I'll do with the money. At my age, money ain't much help. I'm too old to have any fun, and I'm too tired to go places. Oh, dear.
Mr. Axel Swanson, window washer, wins $500,000, consolation prize.
Yes, I've earned the money. I've been washing the drugstore window for 30 years. I'm sick of looking at it. I often thought what I would do to the window if I had money. And now, by jumping yimini, I'm going to do it.
This news service will be brought to you each week, ladies and gentlemen. And so then, for all the news that's fit to hear, don't miss our blasé service. Last week, you remember, Ted Webb sang Wagon Wheels. Well, sir, everyone was so enthusiastic about the number that I know you will be happy to welcome him again at this time. Ted is here without his wagon tonight, but taking a step forward in locomotion, his song is Going to Heaven on a Mule. Thank you, Miss Harris. Now, from time to time, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is customary for a master of ceremonies to say something in his own behalf. It's sort of hard for me to do, really, because I'm kind of bashful. You may not believe this, but at the recent flower show, I entered a shrinking contest on Violet Day, and I won first prize. I still don't know what the prize was, because I was too bashful to go up and get it. But I would like to say a few words about this program. It is made possible by two famous products of the Bristol-Myers Company, Salapatica and Itana Toothpaste. And in this respect, selling two products in one show, the program is an unusual one. Later on, we're going to tell you a few important facts about each of these products. And I will appreciate it if you will give these facts the same attention that you give the other parts of our Hour of Smiles. But Lenny Hayton and his Itana Troubadour are waiting to play that pleasant romantic number from one of Broadway's successful shows, Roberta. Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. Lenny himself at the piano. And now it is time for my little show, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we are going to take you back to Judge Allen's court once again. While we pause for a moment for you to hear from your station announcer, I'll sweep out the court and be waiting for you on the bench. Court will open in just a minute, so don't go away.
Judge Allen's chambers.
Yes, he's here. It's the governor.
Hello. Yes, Govey. Now listen, I can't cut expenses down any lower. No, I've reduced my juries to four men, giving them each three votes. To save time, I'm only hearing one side of each case, and I put a taxi meter on the patrol wagon so we could charge them for the ride. All right. I'll stop sending people to the chair so we can save a little electricity. Okay.
Say, this court's starting to look like the poorhouse.
What are you squawking about?
Well, I'm getting sick of getting my salary in canned salmon.
Well, I can't help it. The last prisoner broke into a fish market. I find him what he had. If somebody robs a bank, I can pay you off in money.
Court's ready, John.
Be right in. Hand me my rope, please.
Yeah, there's a big hole in the back of it.
I know. I've been sitting on a tax case and tort.
Here's your bean blower.
Oh, yes. I'll have a little fun with the district attorney. Let's go.
Rise, please, His Honor, Judge Allen.
Good morning, figurehead.
Good morning, violators. Are you ready for a taste of justice?
We're not guilty.
Order, order, please.
Fellow witness, the time has come to strike.
Order here, Mummock.
The pretzel makers want longer curves and shorter hours. The pretzel barons are leaving on crooked doors. What are we getting? Nothing.
Just a minute, here.
To whom are you talking, to whom?
I'm talking to you, to whom. Do you know where you are?
Ain't it the mayor's office?
No, this is Judge Allen's court.
Oh, excuse me, Judge. I got to hear a contract to start a demonstration in the mayor's office.
Well, it's three doors down.
Okay, no hard feelings, Judge. Come on, Boynton.
Next case.
Molly Weary versus Buster Weary. Separation.
Hi, baby. Hey, this whole thing is a laugh.
Quiet, quiet, young man.
Listen, Judge, I can't live with this guy another minute.
She's only kidding, Judge. How about the next dance?
Quiet, quiet.
Oh, he's impossible. I want a separation.
On what grounds?
On wet grounds, Judge. She's trying to slip me a rain check.
He's never been the same since he sent away for that book.
What book?
How to Be the Life of the Party.
Oh, boy. They laughed when I blew up my bagpipe, but when I played Stormy Weather.
Quiet, quiet. So you're the life of the party, eh?
You tell him, Judge. You've had your trial.
Keep quiet. Quiet.
Ah, now don't get hot under the collar, Judge. Cause smoke gets in your eyes. Wow.
Do I get the separation, Judge?
I'll say, and plenty of alimony, too.
Thank you, Judge.
Well, Judge, we're here today and gone tomorrow, you know.
Not you, my raucous friend. You're here today and gone the same day. Take him away, boys.
Okay, Judge, come along.
Well, so long, Molly. Goodbye, Judge. Call me Sardine, boys. They're taking me away to the camp.
Order, order here. Next case.
Vivian Doré.
Charges?
Impersonating a movie star.
Well, what transpired, Vivian?
Oh, a bomb to be alone.
Well, if you... If you think I'm going to empty the courtroom for you, you're crazy.
They want to be alone.
How was she impersonating a movie star, clerk?
She was giving away autographs on Broadway, blocking traffic.
Fake autographs, eh? Why, that's forgery.
They want to be alone.
Don't worry, Vivian, you will be. 3 months in solitary confinement.
Look like Peggy Joyce.
Yes, Judge. Miss Kirtle told Papa that.
Was Papa interested?
Oh, no. He said that Miss Kirtle had a map that only Rand and McNally could love.
I get it. Now, do you know Dr. Plastic here?
I'll say. He lifted my Aunt Lily's face. It was awful.
What happened to Aunt Lily?
Well, she had freckles on her neck, and the doctor lifted her face so high, she had spots in front of her eyes.
Mm-hmm. Did she want to be a Peggy Joyce, too?
No, she just wanted to have a plump face.
Well, did the doctor build it up?
I'll intimate that he didn't have enough skin to cover her nose.
Oh, and what happened?
Well, the doctor took some skin from her right thumb and used that.
Did it come out all right?
Oh, it's swell for breathing, but every time she goes hitchhiking, her nose keeps jumping to the right.
Oh.
Yes, the very same thing happened to me, Judge.
Same thing happened to you, really?
Exactly, except my nose wants to sit down.
Oh.
Terrible, Miss Kirtle. Does your skin feel tight, too?
Does it? Every time I lift my arms, my toes curl up.
Order, order. Wait a minute now. Nobody's skin could be that tight.
It could, too. My Aunt Lily's skin won't stretch at all. When she shuts her eyes, her mouth flies open.
Why, she's found perpetual motion and doesn't know it. What kind of a doctor are you, Plastic?
None of us is perfect, Judge.
Well, we won't be if you keep on operating.
I guess he's just a chiropodist who worked his way up.
Well, he's gone too far. You want damages, Miss Curdle?
No, I've got all the damages I want. I need repairs.
Can't the doctor put her face back again?
How about it, Doc?
Well, I'm pretty good at jigsaw puzzles.
Yes, Judge, he got my Aunt Lily's ears in place.
Fine. All right, Dr. Plastic, if you'll unbeautify Miss Curdle here, she'll drop the case.
Yes, if I can only chew my food without getting my lips in my eyes, I'll do anything.
Okay. Case dismissed.
Do you need me for any more cases?
No, you can go now. Say, I just noticed, isn't that coat a little too big for you?
I'll intimate. I had to borrow it to come to court.
Why?
Well, the summons said you wanted me to appear in Miss Carroll's suit, and this is it.
I get it. Goodbye, Portland.
Peek-a-boo.
Next case.
Wilbur Gruff, hit-and-run driver.
Wilbur, you're charged here with running over a Mr. Cannon with a loaded truck. Have you anything to say in your defense?
Your Honor, I didn't know it was loaded.
Case dismissed.
The Quang Quang Streetcar Company.
Defendant is ready, Your Honor.
And the plaintiff is ready, Judgment Found.
Yeah, are you Henry Coy?
No, sir. I am Oliver Wendell Pinkbaum.
Oh, his lawyer, eh?
Yes, Sheriff, my buddy. Also on the side, I'm selling a little real estate and insurance.
Quiet, quiet, Pinkbaum.
Your Honor, as attorney for the streetcar company, I demand that we proceed with this case.
Don't trash me, kiddo. I'm winning this case nulli pronto.
Here, here. Proceed. Henry Coy is suing the streetcar company for $50,000 damages.
Judge, I will prove that the streetcar crippled my client for life, possibly even longer.
And I will prove that this case is just a cooked-up tissue of lies.
Here, no recriminations, please. Call your first witness.
Mr. Edward Bells, take the stand.
Right here, Judge.
What do you know about this case, Mr. Bells?
Well, Judge, I'm a motorman. I was driving me streetcar along in neutral when I seen a man lying on the tracks. So I jams on me brakes and comes to a stop.
Did your car hit the man?
No. Your Honor, it never touched me.
That's all. Your witness, Mr. Pinkbaum.
Thank you. I'll grill him like a Frankfurter. And now, Mr. Bells, you are also collecting nickels for a streetcar company, ain't it?
Well, yes, some of them is for the company.
You hear that, Judge, my friend? He's robbing the company.
One crime at a time, Pinkbaum. Stick to this case.
Okay. Mr. Bells, as you was driving the streetcar, where was you looking?
Well, I was sort of admiring the scenery. I'm a great lover of nature.
You are also a great lover of whiskey.
That's a barefaced lie in the face of it.
You are drunk. As pickled as a pig's foot.
I object.
Order, order, please.
Your Honor, I could smell the whiskey on him a block away. It was my favorite brand. 5-star Ginsburg.
Your Honor, I never touched a drop.
I could prove it. I got witnesses. I was there myself.
You were there? What were you doing there, Pinkbaum?
Judge, believe it or not, I was waiting for a streetcar.
Mr. Bells, had you been imbibing a little too freely?
No, sir. I signed the pledges of youth.
Tut, 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 tut. I'm no prude, my good man. Now, you had a noggin or two, didn't you? Mr. Pinkbaum here says he has witnesses.
Certainly he's got witnesses. When I got off the streetcar to see what that guy was laying on the tracks for, this lawyer pulled out a bottle of whiskey and he spills it all over
me.
A
capitalist,
then
eh?
Then he calls a crowd over to smell me.
Well, where's the plaintiff, Henry Coy?
Is that Judge, old sidekick? Wheel him in, boys.
Look at that.
Put it back, huh?
He's in bad shape, isn't he? Take it easy, Mr. Coy.
Yes, Your Honor.
Keep your upper lip stiff, old hand-cold soldier. We're getting a pretty penny for this.
Now, Mr. McCoy, just tell us through the bandages there what happened to you.
I don't know, Judge. I was walking up Main Street, and all of a sudden I slipped on the icy sidewalk and fell. That's all I remember.
Did you say Main Street? Why, this accident is supposed to have happened on Broadway, 2 blocks from Main Street.
Your Honor, don't listen to him. He don't remember what happened. Ever since the accident, he's been suffering from magnesia.
Your Honor,
I can clear this up very quickly. Mrs. Helen Fine, take the stand.
Yes, sir. I saw the whole thing.
You're sure you saw this man fall on Main Street?
Yes, sir, I did.
Mrs. Fine, tell the judge what happened when Mr. Coy fell.
Well, this Mr. Pinkbaum here picked him up and dragged him 2 blocks to Broadway.
Yes, yes.
Then he threw him on the car tracks and jumped up and down on him.
Pinkbaum, I'm beginning to smell a rat.
It's only a mouse, Judge O'Connor, just a mouse.
Come clean, Pinkbaum. What was the big idea?
Well, Judge, I'm a fighter, and I'm bringing to you an accident case. My pal, I'm making it a good one.
Sure, send them in.
Who is it?
A couple of reporters.
Oh. Hello, boys.
Judge, you got to give us a story in your portable court.
Are you closing up here?
No, boys, but business is terrible.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going out and catch people committing crimes. I'll try their cases on the spot and freeze out the middleman.
That's a great idea.
I'm starting out now. Come on, clerk.
So long, boys.
Good luck, Judge.
Hey, listen, where are you going to find the crime?
Just keep your eyes open. We'll find them. Say, it's a gorgeous night out for crimes, isn't it?
Yes, well, awful. Say, Judge, look, there's a couple spooning in that car parked over there. Is that against the law?
Is it? Here's our first case.
Oh, boy. Here's your Bible and gavel.
Well, never mind the Bible, but keep that gavel handy. Maybe a big fella. Let's go over.
We'll sneak up on them, eh?
Easy now.
Oh, Cecil. Oh, your kisses thrill me. I love only you.
And I adore you, Mrs. Dally, more than I can ever...
All right, you two. Break up that clinch.
Oh, good heavens, my husband.
No, it ain't your husband this time. It's Judge Allen.
Hear ye, all you people.
Court's open, young man.
Well, you want?
I fine you $10 for parking near that fireplace.
Oh, for goodness sake, pay him, Cecil, and take me home. I'm a nervous wreck.
Oh, here's your $10.
Thank you. Let's go, clerk.
I told you we should have bought
the car. Say, Judge, that was a cinch.
Yes, we should have started this thing weeks ago.
Yeah.
Keep your eye peeled now.
Say, wait. Look at that suspicious-looking fellow in the doorway over there.
Say, he's a tough-looking bird. Maybe we can get him for vagrancy or something.
Yeah, let's go over.
All right, you go first and open up the court.
Okay.
Hey, you, wait a minute.
What's eating you? Scram up, put you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give an account of yourself by my uncouth mammoth ruffian.
Another crack like that and I'll smack you.
Well, that'll cost you $10 for contempt of court.
Yeah, and you better pay it, mister. He's Judge Allen.
Wait a minute, I don't get this. What's the racket?
It isn't a racket. Here's my car. Now, instead of hiring a lawyer when you commit a crime, you deal direct with me.
Oh, I get it. You're a judge, and you're out drumming up business for yourself.
That's right, and I'm his clerk.
That's swell. I'm just going to rob that jewelry store across the street. Will you take the case? I won't be a minute.
Well, all right, but it'll cost you plenty, mister.
Oh, that's all right. Maybe you can do something for me sometime. Come on, I got to jimmy the door.
Can we help you in any way?
No, I'll handle it. Stand back.
Oh, let me hold your hat, will you? Well, it looks like a tough door, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I'll open it.
Say, why don't you try this crowbar?
No, I'll get it.
How about this steel chisel?
Say, will you quit your kibitzing?
Let him do it his own way,
well,
Judge.
There she goes.
Oh, goody, it's open.
I'll be out in a minute, boy.
Say, he certainly is a nice fellow, isn't he?
Yes, well, guys.
Quiet. Here comes a cop.
Well, it's too late. He's seen us.
Hey, you all, what are you doing there?
Why, hello, officer.
Well, if it ain't Judge Allen. Got a date with a dame, eh? Your lady killer. Well, so long, Judge. Lots of luck.
Oh, boy. Gee, that was a close one.
Yeah, we don't want him chiseling in on this.
Okay, fellas. It's a swell haul. Now, Judge, what's the fine?
How about $1,000?
Sure, here you are. And here's 50 more for court.
Oh, thank you, my good man.
You know, I'm beginning to like you, Judge.
Isn't that funny?
I think I got another proposition for you.
What is it?
How much would the fine be for pulling a holdup?
Well, for you, a good customer, $400 net.
It's a deal. Here's your $400.
Oh, thank you. But you haven't held up anyone yet.
No, but I'm going to. Stick him up.
Oh, wait, now, hey, here.
No, you don't. Oh, now, here, you thug. Stop it. Here. Oh, you're choking me. Here.
Give me back that dough.
Help, please. Help,
Bert. Stay on the right side, sister. Stay on the right side, sister. Stay on the right side.
A
And now Mr. Allen's question box.
Well, the question box is all of a scurry, ladies and gentlemen. And this postcard marked Annie doesn't live here anymore comes from Mr. Irving Barco at Albany, New York. Mr. Barco says, quote, I am the owner of a high-class beer and pretzel emporium. Every night I find it necessary to throw out obnoxious patrons who disturb the deluxe atmosphere of my joint. Lately, I seem to be losing my grip. Last night, in attempting to bounce a tenor singer, I was greatly embarrassed to find myself sprawled akimbo in the gutter. What can I do? Unquote. My own background has made me especially qualified to help you in your dilemma, Mr. Barco. The art of bouncing a roisterer or rowdy from a public tavern is an ancient one. It is called giving him the mendicant's incentive, or the bum's rush. In 42 B.C., one Marcus Libidinus, a wise guy in the Roman Senate, introduced this method to rid the premises of left-wingers. In the days of King Arthur, the heavy armor caused the Roman method to become unpopular. But with the appearance of the pantaloon and the buffoon early in the 15th century, the bum's rush returned to favor. For your purposes, Mr. Barco, I would recommend heartily the following technique. With the right hand, firmly grasp the person guilty of the hijinks. Pretend to help him on with his overcoat. When you are once in position, say to yourself, away we go, and give him the works. When ejecting married couples, the lady takes off first, and the husband joins her on the sidewalk immediately after. If you feel you are really losing your grip, send for my pamphlet, The Art of Bums Rushing, and you will soon get a good hold on yourself. Get it? Ha, 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 Mr. Barco. If you, too, have a problem weighing you down, ladies and gentlemen, why not send it to me on a postcard, and I shall be happy to take it off your hands, even as I have taken these drones from Mr. Barco's hands tonight. This is Fred Allen saying good, spelled Hypana, night, spelled Salapatica. And don't forget, next Wednesday night, the Hour of Smiles brings you comedy. Drama.
Mr. Bartender, is my father in there?
Get away from them swinging doors.
Weather report.
Marks will go out like a lamb.
Stock market advice.
Hold on to your rubber checks for a long pull.
And music.
Every girl and young woman in the United States will want to hear this program next Wednesday night, April the 4th, because that's the night when the makers of Ipana toothpaste are going to announce the complete details of a Devil Charm contest. Winners of the first three prizes will receive free trips to the Chicago World's Fair this summer. And the first prize winner will be the official Devil Charm girl of the Century of Progress, 1934. Hear the Hour of Smiles again next week for the inimitable comedy of Fred Allen, for the superb music of Lenny Hayden and his friends.